Have you ever watched a fuel truck pull up to a regional turboprop and thought, there has to be a better way? I'm Vector on Clear Direct Radio Hangar, and today we're going deep on a company that thinks the answer is hydrogen. Not hydrogen combustion, not some far-off concept sketch. Hydrogen fuel cells driving electric motors bolted onto airframes that already exist. That's ZeroAvia, based out of Hollister, California, and they have been flying hardware, not slideware, since 2020. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. The core idea behind ZeroAvia is elegant in its simplicity. You take hydrogen gas, you feed it into a proton exchange membrane fuel cell. That fuel cell converts the hydrogen into electricity and water vapor. The electricity drives an electric motor. The motor turns a propeller. No combustion, no carbon dioxide. The only exhaust is water. Now, if you've spent any time around electric aircraft companies, you've heard the battery problem. Batteries are heavy. Lithium ion energy density sits somewhere around 250 watt hours per kilogram at the cell level. Jet fuel delivers roughly 12,000 watt hours per kilogram. That is a brutal gap. It's the reason pure battery electric works for training aircraft and short hops, but falls apart the moment you need to carry real payload over real distance. Hydrogen changes that math. Compressed hydrogen gas at 700 bar delivers about 33,000 watt hours per kilogram of the fuel itself. Now you lose a big chunk of that when you account for the weight of the tanks, the fuel cell stack, the cooling systems, the power electronics. But even after all those penalties, the system level energy density of a hydrogen electric powertrain lands somewhere between 800 and 1200 watt hours per kilogram, depending on whose numbers you trust. That is 3 to 4 times better than the best battery packs available today. Here's what most people miss. That number is still well below kerosene. You're looking at roughly a tenth of jet fuel's energy density at the system level. So hydrogen doesn't give you a Boeing 777 crossing the Pacific. But it does give you something batteries cannot. A realistic shot at replacing the turboprop engine on a 19-seat commuter or a 70-seat regional aircraft with a zero-emission powertrain that actually has the range and payload to be useful. ZeroAvia has been methodical about this. Their first major milestone came in September of 2020 when they flew a modified Piper M-Class, a 6-seat airplane, on hydrogen electric power at Cranfield in the United Kingdom. That was a short flight. Proof of concept, but it made them the largest hydrogen electric aircraft to fly at the time. Then they moved to their ZA-600 powertrain, rated at 600 kilowatts, that's roughly 800 shaft horsepower. In January of 2023, they flew a modified Dornier 228, a 19-seat twin turboprop, with one of its conventional engines replaced by their hydrogen electric system. The other engine stayed conventional for safety. The flight happened out of Cotswold Airport in England, and it demonstrated something critical. This was not a subscale demonstrator or a laboratory bench test. This was a real airframe, a real certification class powertrain, flying with a real pilot in the seat. The data tells an interesting story here. ZeroAvia's current ZA-600 system is targeting a range of roughly 300 nautical miles with a 19-seat aircraft. That covers a huge number of the regional routes flown today by Cessna Caravans, Beechcraft 1900s, and similar aircraft. Think island hopping in the Pacific Northwest. Commuter runs in Scandinavia, the short-haul regional network that makes up a massive share of global commercial departures. Their next step is the ZA-2000, targeting 2,000 kilowatts, about 2,700 shaft horsepower. That's aimed at the 40 to 80 seat turboprop class. Think ATR-72, de Havilland Dash 8400. Aircraft that carry real passenger loads on routes up to 500 nautical miles. ZeroAvia has publicly stated they're targeting entry into service for the 600 kilowatt system by 2027 and the larger system a few years after that. Now let me be straight with you. Those timelines are ambitious, and this industry has taught me to add 2 to 4 years to any clean sheet propulsion program's optimistic schedule. The certification path alone is enormous. The Federal Aviation Administration and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA, do not have a well-worn certification framework for hydrogen fuel cell powertrains on commercial aircraft. ZeroAvia is working with both agencies, and they've secured a supplemental type certificate path for the Dornier 228 retrofit, but they are building the road as they drive on it. There are real engineering challenges that deserve honest discussion. First, the tanks. Hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe, but it takes up a lot of space even when compressed to 700 bar. You need carbon fiber composite pressure vessels that are bulky, expensive, and have to pass the most demanding crash and fire safety standards in aviation. Where do you put them on a 19-seat commuter? Zero Avia's approach for the Dornier uses external tank pods, which works for a demonstrator but adds drag and raises questions about production configuration. Second, the infrastructure today. There is essentially zero hydrogen refueling infrastructure at airports. Zero Avia knows this, and they've been working on modular hydrogen production and refueling systems that could be deployed at regional airports. They're talking about electrolysis units powered by renewable electricity, producing green hydrogen on-site. It's clever, but it's also an enormous capital investment that someone has to make before the first revenue flight happens. Third, the fuel cell durability. Proton exchange membrane fuel cells in automotive applications typically last somewhere between 5,000 and 20,000 hours before significant degradation. Aviation demands more. A turboprop engine might go between overhauls at 3,500 hours, but the expectation is multiple overhaul cycles across a 30-year airframe life. Fuel cell stack replacement intervals and costs will be a major factor in airline economics. Fourth, the thermal management. Fuel cells generate heat. Lots of it. Roughly 40 to 50% of the energy in the hydrogen becomes waste heat that has to be rejected. In a car, you have a big radiator up front with ambient airflow. In an aircraft, you need heat exchangers that are light, efficient, and don't kill your aerodynamics. This is solvable, but it's one of those engineering problems that looks simple on a whiteboard and gets complicated in practice. So who's betting on Zero Avia? The investor list is worth paying attention to. Amazon's Climate Pledge Fund, Bill Gates' Breakthrough Energy Ventures, British Airways' parent company IAG, United Airlines Ventures, Alaska Air Group, and Airbus Ventures have all put money in. Total funding through their Series C is over $150 million. When you see both airlines and aerospace primes investing, it signals that the technical community believes the physics are sound, even if the timeline is debatable. They're not alone in this space either. Universal Hydrogen, based in Hawthorne, California, took a different approach, using modular hydrogen capsules that could be swapped like cargo containers. They flew a modified Dash 8-300 in March of 2023. Unfortunately, Universal Hydrogen filed for bankruptcy in the summer of 2024, which was a blow to the sector, their intellectual property and some personnel scattered to other programs. Airbus has their own Zero E initiative targeting a hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft by 2035, looking at both fuel cell and hydrogen combustion approaches for larger aircraft. But Airbus is working at the 100-plus seat scale, which is a fundamentally harder problem. Zero Avia's focus on the small regional market first is strategically sound. Start where the physics are most favorable and the certification risk is lowest. For those of us flying general aviation, this might feel distant, but there is a trickle-down path here that matters. If hydrogen electric powertrains prove reliable and economical at the 19-seat scale, the technology migrates, fuel cell stacks get smaller, lighter, cheaper, hydrogen infrastructure at regional airports gets built, and suddenly the conversation shifts from whether hydrogen works in aviation to how small an aircraft can use it effectively. Think about what happened with glass cockpits. The technology started in the Boeing 757 and 767 in the early 1980s. 20 years later, Garmin put the G1000 in a Cessna 172. These transitions take time, but they do happen. There's another angle here that fascinates me as an engineer. The electric motor at the heart of these systems is fundamentally simpler than a turboprop engine. An electric motor has one moving part. A Pratt & Whitney PT6A turboprop has thousands of parts, runs at extreme temperatures, and requires meticulous hot section inspections. If fuel cell reliability can get where it needs to be, the maintenance economics could be transformative for regional operators who spend enormous amounts keeping aging turboprop fleets in the air. The efficiency numbers are interesting too. A turboprop engine converts roughly 30 to 35% of the fuel's energy into useful shaft power. A hydrogen fuel cell powertrain, from hydrogen to propeller, converts roughly 50 to 55%. You start with a fuel that has less energy density than kerosene at the system level, but you use that energy more efficiently. It partially closes the gap. Zero Avia recently announced they're expanding their test facility in Hollister and have been running endurance campaigns on their ZA600 stack, pushing toward the hours and thermal cycles needed for certification credit. They've also been developing what they call their ZA electric motor, an in-house design optimized for the specific torque and speed profiles that propeller-driven aircraft need. Most electric motors are designed for automotive or industrial applications. Getting the power-to-weight ratio right for aviation is its own discipline. The honest timeline? I think we'll see the first commercially certified hydrogen electric aircraft. Probably the Dornier 228 with Zero Avia's retrofit, flying revenue passengers before 2030. Maybe 2028, maybe 2029. The larger 40 to 80 seat application is probably an early 2033 to 2035 story, and widespread adoption, where hydrogen electric is a normal part of the regional fleet mix, that's probably the late 2030s at the earliest. That's not a criticism. That's the reality of certifying propulsion systems in aviation. The Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan took over a decade from concept to entry into service, and that was an evolution of existing technology, not a new energy source. What I find genuinely exciting is that the fundamental physics work. Unlike some concepts in aviation's future where you're fighting the laws of thermodynamics, hydrogen electric propulsion has a clear path from laboratory to revenue service. The challenges are engineering and infrastructure challenges, not physics challenges. And that's a much better starting position. The reporting I've drawn from today comes primarily from Zero Avia's published flight test data and press releases, along with analysis from Aviation Week, Flight Global, and published research from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory on hydrogen storage systems. You can find more on this and other tech deep dives at RadioHanger.com. I'll be watching the next Dornier test campaign closely. If Zero Avia hits their endurance targets this year, the certification clock starts ticking for real. This is Vector on Cleared Direct. Fly curious.